playing the healthy seascape, as opposed to the control site where not much happened at all.
As Snyderzik says, luring species that visit a forest even briefly can help jumpstart ecosystem recovery. For example, bird droppings disperse plant seeds and fertilize soil. So after a disaster, playing the sounds of a healthy forest can help create one. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Savitri Dee of Earth Riot Radio in New York City. Today on Sprouts, we'll hear from Native American activist John Trudell and Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir.
And this is Reverend Billy at Earth Riot Radio. Welcome. I'm talking to you from the Earth Church here in New York. Got a big blue marble picture of the Earth here in front of me at the front of the church. Honored to talk with you today because today change has come. And this is the change that so many of us have been shouting for, pleading for, writing essays, marching through the streets, getting arrested. But finally, people are listening. And maybe it's not because of the protesters. Maybe the main protester has spoken. And that is this conscious living being on whose surface we live, who has propagated a tragedy in every city, every hamlet, every mountain, every valley. Yes, the earth has risen up. The message has just been unmistakable. We hear you now. And we will join you. A little bit later in this telecast, we have one of the great Native American teachers, John Trudell, is going to talk to us. All of the Native peoples have a prophecy. It's very similar from tribe to tribe. And that is that the earth will rise up and unleash great amounts of energy to clean, to balance, to survive. And that at some point, the earth will offer the invitation to the human beings to join. Join this earth revolution. And as the story has it, some of us will join up and others among us won't be there in time. And we will vanish. We can't know for sure if it's too late. But we do know that right now, so many of us up and down the streets, so many of our acquaintances and friends, we are as a species. We're getting it. We're getting it. Earthaluya, you're talking to us. We hear you. We're signing up. We want to survive. Yes, we do. We want our children to survive. And we know that there's just a few thousand investor people, executives, who are putting this toxicity into the air and the water and the soil. And they are the cause. And we know we can stop them. Yes, we can. You've got armies of lawyers. You've got soldiers. You've corrupted our governments. But we know that we can join the earth. And in joining the earth, we will have the power to love life, to live our lives, to survive. Somebody give me an earth-alleluia.
Earth-alleluia.
Get it yet. Don't quite understand.
understand the language, say it again, will you? We hear you in the tsunamis, the flooding rivers, the last breathing of the last quiet bird. We hear you in the baking drought, in the downpours, in the slipping faults, in the blooming coronavirus, mudslides, extinction of the white rhino, the memory of the great forests. We hear you in the silence of the dead mountains. We hear you in the scream of a new baby that is not human.
Call it deprogram ourselves. It's, to me, it's really an issue of how do we recognize ourselves. You know, we need to recognize that we're human beings. Recognize that we're human beings, and our connection to the reality of power is in that identity. Human. Our bone, flesh, and blood, our DNA, we're literally made up of the metals, minerals, and liquids of the earth. We're part of the earth. We're shapes of the earth, like everything. Of the earth. And we have being, our spirit. You know, and that being comes from our relationship to the sun, sky, universe. Because, I mean, sunlight's literally like the sperm that brings life to the water-bearing womb that is the earth. So this is our being is connected to that. And all things of the earth have being because we're all made up same stuff, just arranged differently, and have the same relationship to sun, sky, universe. Being, and we need to... So the reality of our relationship to power and purpose, so to speak, is in that identity. And now, so how do we recognize and get back to that identity? I don't have a specific answer. But the closest I can say to it is that if we would, a part of recognizing of ourselves is that to recognize our intelligence and understand the value of our intelligence. Because as human beings, our ability to access the reality of our power is in through clear and coherent use of our intelligence. See, our intelligence, that's the portal how we manifest and access our relationship into the reality of power as humans. It's through the use of our intelligence. But we've been imprinted and programmed, basically where we're at now in the evolution of human beings, we're basically in a period of time in this industrial technologic world where the majority of the human beings participate in this reality based upon their fears and their doubts and insecurities, so their perception of their inabilities. See, all that was imprinted in there to make us not recognize ourselves. And to understand the power and recognize the power of our intelligence is, let's say, through our fears and our doubts and our insecurities, how bad can we make ourselves feel? And how does that affect the people around us? Well, that's power. That's our power. That's a manifestation of our personal power. But we've been imprinted to use it in this kind of a way. But so we do have power. It's in how we recognize it and choose to direct it and use it. So I would say the first step to this is like recognize the value of our intelligence and the power of our intelligence. Because I think that any person or people that would be concerned about saving the earth and saving creation and have this type of an awareness. I think that a necessary component to that is to give thanks to their, however one perceives the Creator, give thanks to the Creator, number one, for life, and number two, for the gift of intelligence. To show respect for this, maybe because we need to show respect to our intelligence, and maybe it's a part of our thanks that we give on a daily basis, in a ritualistic way.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of global interest. I'm Savitri D, and this is Earth Riot Radio in New York City. Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Authorities in South Carolina say the last four of 43 escaped monkeys were recaptured after 2 months of living in the woods. Weathering a rare snowstorm and being tempted back into captivity by peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. The rhesus macaque monkeys, all female, made a break for it after police say an employee did not fully lock their enclosure at Alpha Genesis, a facility that breeds them for medical research, also known to locals as the Monkey Farm. The recaptured monkeys appeared to be in good health. They made a break for it on the 6th of November and mostly hung around near the facility. They are about the size of a cat, weighing roughly 7 pounds. The first outbreak of a rare bird flu in poultry has been detected on a duck farm in California. Authorities said the discovery of H5N9 bird flu in poultry came alongside the detection of the more common H5N1 strain on the same farm in Merced County, California, and that almost 120,000 birds on the farm had been killed since early December. This is the first confirmed case of H5N9 in poultry in the United States. Highly pathogenic bird flu is of rising concern to epidemiologists. H5N9 is a subtype avian influenza virus. The rate of ocean warming has more than quadrupled over the past four decades. Ocean temperatures were rising at about 0.06 degrees Celsius per decade in the late 80s, but are now increasing at 0.27 degrees Celsius per decade. This accelerating ocean warming is driven by the Earth's growing energy imbalance, in which more energy from the sun is being absorbed in the Earth's system than is escaping back to space. This imbalance has roughly doubled since 2010, in part due to increasing greenhouse gas concentrations and because the Earth is now reflecting less sunlight to space than before. A Scottish court blocked Shell and Equinor from producing oil and gas at two North Sea sites until the British government assesses their climate impact, delaying key projects in the region. The decision follows a UK Supreme Court ruling requiring oil and gas project reviews to include the impact of burning fossil fuels on climate change. Shell and Equinor have already invested billions in the projects. An Israeli man facing extradition to the U.S. claims in court filings that ExxonMobil and lobbying firm DCI Group were involved in a hacking campaign targeting climate activists. Court filings from Amit Vorlit, an Israeli citizen charged with hacking, allege that Exxon and DCI Group commissioned efforts to steal information from environmental activists involved in climate lawsuits against oil companies. The development in court last week marks the first time that Exxon and DCI, which it has used as a lobbying firm, have been publicly linked to what prosecutors describe as a years-long hacking campaign to steal information from environmental activists who have helped states and cities sue energy companies for contributing to climate change. The municipalities are seeking billions of dollars from oil companies, including Exxon, for damages related to flooding and other impacts. India doubled its tiger population in a little over a decade by protecting the big cats from poaching and habitat loss, ensuring they have enough prey, reducing human-wildlife conflict, and increasing communities' living standards near tiger areas, a new study published this week found. The number of tigers grew from an estimated 1,706 in 2010 to around 3,682 in 2022, making India home to roughly 75% of the global tiger population. Biologists with an international research collaborative discovered a brain-controlling fungus that infects orb-weaving cave spiders, altering their normally reclusive behavior towards risky exposure in order to spread the spores. Like Ophiocordyceps, the fungus that similarly infects the brains of ants, the new fungus, Gibbolula attenboroughi, induces orb-weaving spiders to leave their shadowy dens and occupy the ceiling spaces of caves to disperse fungal spores in a journey that most often ends in their death. The spider's behavior was first noted on the ceiling of a shop and was later observed in a cave in Northern Ireland. The polar bear is the only Arctic land mammal that dives into water to hunt. In the low Arctic temperatures, their fur is typically observed to be free of ice. A new study investigates the anti-icing properties of polar bear fur and shows that it exhibits low ice adhesion as a consequence of sophisticated hair grease. Polar bear fur has long been used for a wide range of de-icing applications by native Arctic peoples. Polar bears are known to slide on snow and ice and can be seen shaking off accumulated ice. They also lie in wait on ice and snow while hunting, seemingly unbothered by the collecting ice beneath them. Cutting grass, if done carefully, can benefit pollinators and other insects. Researchers have added a twist to this advice. Mowing along curves rather than straight lines can boost the abundance and diversity of butterflies and wild bees. The study was done in agricultural meadows, but many experts not involved with the work say this meandering style of mowing may be more practical in nature reserves, where mowing is part of conservation or ecological restoration, also in urban parks and even backyards. Grasslands can host more biodiversity than meets the eye. In addition to various species of grass, herbaceous plants provide food for an array of pollinators. A species of fungus-eating orchid has an ingenious self-pollinating method. The secret lies in the orchid's mysterious finger-like appendage. Stigmata dactylus sicochianus lives in shady Japanese forests and feeds on soil fungi throughout its life, rather than relying on photosynthesis. The orchid has a little finger-like appendage under its stigma, the sticky part that receives pollen during mating. If no insects visit the orchid to pollinate it, the flower starts to wilt. As it droops, the finger-like appendage gradually moves towards the stigma, bringing pollen into contact with its sticky receptor. The appendage thus acts like a bridge, transferring the orchid's pollen in a self-pollination trick, but only as a last resort. The wilting mechanism allows a plant to hold out for a pollinator, but acts as a fail-safe, ensuring it can still reproduce, even if an insect never arrives. And now, the sounds of extinction. Government-supported climate science in the United States. The Trump administration ordered the U.S. Agriculture Department to take down its websites documenting or referencing the climate crisis. Within days of the order, the landing pages on the United States Forest Service website for key resources, research, and adaptation tools, including those that provide vital context and vulnerability assessments for wildfires, had gone dark, leaving behind an error message or just a single line. You are not authorized to access this page. 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 You are not authorized to access this page.
inside about that thing called life. You wanted more gas, more guns, more sacrifice. Will a child from the future knock on your door? Will she say, I'm a dead kid from 2044? You don't seem to want your future anymore. Will the future want more life?
Confront the fossil fuel investor class. When we go into the Chase Bank, Citi, Wells Fargo, B of A, UBS, Royal Bank of Scotland, Royal Bank of Canada. When we go in to confront the poisoners. And the earth is in us. Then we are the earth. The material in us, the spirit in us, what we have in us that is the earth is in that action. And it becomes completely different. It's different. It's not a career. It's not environmentalism. And it's stronger. It's clearer. Listen to me. We have got to invent a new way to fight for the earth.
Yes.
What we're doing right now isn't adding up to less CO2 every month. And a lot of us in this room are doing the right thing, but that's not the point. The earth is in us. We are the earth. Some New Yorkers, a little cynicism. Oh, what is that? A kind of DIY spirituality? Well, yes. Unashamed. It's the earth. Somebody give me an earthaluyah here today. Earthaluyah. The earth is in our bodies. The earth comes with us as we risk arrest. When we parade, when we go back into public space and take on that $12 billion a year police department. You and me will see you there in public space, and we will have the earth rising up in us. It's real. This is not a theory. I'm saying radical memory of who you are invites the earth into our bodies, and then our activism changes, and we become agents for the earth. For the earth. For the earth. For the earth. Earthaluyah! 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 Earthaluyah!
That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to Earth Riot Radio. Special thanks to John Trudell. Our contributors this week were producer Jason Kammer, with sermons and music from Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir, plus natural news from me, Savitri D. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the globe. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase globally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Roydenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Savitri D. in New York City. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.